reaching out to Christians of all churches with the aim of one day unifying all of Christianity. That's one of the priorities of Pope Benedict. A delegation from the Armenian Church came to the Vatican in early May for a series of meetings with officials, including a meeting between the Supreme Patriarch of the Armenian Church, Catholicos Karakin II, and Pope Benedict XVI. Emer McCarthy reports on what the two church leaders had to say about their hopes on furthering the dialogue.
Speaking through an interpreter, Catholicos Karakin addressed the Pope, underlining how his pilgrimage to Rome was a symbol of the search for unity in Christ.
Dear brother in Christ, through the blessings of our Lord's all-provident right hand, we stand alongside one another today to strengthen and testify to the fraternal love between our two churches.
In his address, Pope Benedict traced the history of relations between the two churches and the visible signs of growing mutual acceptance, such as increased cooperation in the Joint Commission for Theological Dialogue between the Catholic Church and the Oriental Orthodox Churches.
In our ecumenical dialogue, important progress has been made in clarifying the doctrinal controversies that have traditionally divided us, particularly over questions of Christology. We pray that its activity will bring us closer to full and visible communion, and that the day will come when our unity in faith makes possible a common celebration of the Eucharist.
Until that day, Pope Benedict urged greater pastoral cooperation, offering the full support of the Catholic Church as the Armenian people face the immense task of rebuilding the church in their country, where, he said, the recent history of the Armenian Apostolic Church has been written in the contrasting colours of persecution and martyrdom, darkness and hope, humiliation and spiritual rebirth.
Thanks to apostolic leadership, the glorious light of Christ shines again in Armenia, and the saving words of the Gospel can be heard once more. Of course, you are still facing many challenges on the social, cultural, and spiritual levels. In this regard, I must mention the recent difficulties suffered by the people of Armenia and express a prayerful support of the Catholic Church in the search for justice and peace and the promotion of the common good.
I'm Emer McCarthy.
There has been always good relations and cooperations, and this visit hopefully will even strengthen that kind of cooperation and partnership.
Archbishop Kajag Barsamian is primate of the Armenian Church on the east coast of the United States. He says these visits are part of the continuing cooperation between the Armenian and Catholic churches, and he recalls other landmark visits: Pope John Paul II's 2001 pilgrimage to Armenia, and in early 2008, Pope Benedict XVI sent Secretary of State Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone to the capital, Yerevan, to further the cooperation. Armenia is the first nation in the world to adopt Christianity as the state religion, that as far back as the year 301 AD. That's even before Emperor Constantine declared Christianity the faith of the Roman Empire. I wondered, how strong is the church in Armenia today, and how large is the community in the diaspora?
Well, Armenian church is an apostolic church, namely two apostles of Christ, Thaddeus and Bartholomew. They brought the faith of Christ to the Armenian people, and like in other parts of the world, Christianity was persecuted also in Armenia. But as you stated, it was 301 when St. Gregory the Illuminator baptized the king and the queen and then the entire Armenian nation. And 2001, there was a large celebration. In fact, Pope John Paul II, His Holiness of Blessed Memory, visited Armenia on that occasion, celebrating with all the Armenians 1,700th anniversary. And Christian faith has been part and partial of the Armenian identity. The Armenian culture is based on our Christian faith, and Armenians defended also their faith, their Christian faith. One of the good examples is 451, when the Persian army wanted Armenians to leave their faith and worship fire. But then Armenians fought against the huge Persian army and became martyrs so that they can remain Christians. And in fact, the head of the army, Armenian army, Saint Vartan, he responded to the Persians saying that our Christian faith is part of our identity, like a skin, which we cannot, it's not a cloth which we can change. And also he used another phrase saying that our church is our mother and Bible is our father. And this has been the Armenian experience throughout many, many centuries. Armenians went to different parts of the world, Far East, Middle East, Western Europe, Eastern Europe, and then later to the United States, but always remained faithful to their apostolic faith. And still they continue. And even during 1915 genocide, many died because of their Christian faith. And also when the communism took part of a small portion of historic Armenia, even during that time, we had many martyrs, many clergy were taken to Siberia, were killed because of their faith. But however, still under 70 years of Soviet tyranny, still the Armenians kept their Christian faith in Armenia and also wherever they established. Like 110 years ago, an Armenian church diocese was established in North America with one church. And thank God today there are about 150 churches in North America. So church has been part and parcel of Armenian culture, Armenian identity. And today, after the freedom, independence of Armenia, church is growing, has become very, very active under the leadership of His Holiness Karekin, the second Catholicos of all Armenians. New clergy are being prepared. In fact, now there are 250 seminarians studying to become priests in Armenia, and about 40 and sometimes 50 young clergy are being ordained, and some of them are being also sent to outside. And there, the Catholic Church has been very, very helpful, providing them opportunities to study in Catholic universities, like in Rome. I myself studied at the Pontifical Oriental Institute here in Rome. And I know that there are other young students, clergy, ordained priests who come from Armenia to study in Rome in different Catholic universities, and also in other European countries, Germany, Austria, France, even in Poland, in Spain, and also in the United States.
With the collapse of the Soviet Union, Armenia gained full independence in 1991. Was this a real turning point for the Armenian Church?
Definitely. That creates a great opportunity for the Armenian people. Opportunity spiritually, because it's a great opportunity for the Armenian Church to revitalize herself, and it is happening through different outreach programs, Christian education programs, youth programs. So it is happening. And also, politically speaking, Armenians for many centuries, they lost their independence, even though there was a short period, 1918-20, when there was a free republic, but it was a very, very short time. So this is a very, very exciting moment for the Armenian people, spiritually, culturally, and also economically. In Armenia, there are about 3.5 million Armenians, but then most of the Armenians, they live outside of Armenia. There are about 10 million Armenians all over the world. So in Russia, there is a large community. And then in the United States, very large, very active Armenian community. In Europe, now in many European countries, Armenians are establishing. France, there has been a very active community. And also in other parts of Europe, in Germany, now all over Europe, in the Middle East, we have communities almost in all the Middle Eastern countries, in Far East, Australia, we have an active community. So Armenians are dispersed everywhere, but then wherever they go, immediately they built churches so that they can keep their faith and their identity.
Being spread across the world in so many different countries, I would imagine that that brings divisions or difficulties in communication between the various Armenian churches. How has the central authority of the Armenian church tried to heal these divisions and bring the Armenians in all over the world closer together?
As I indicated, the independence of Armenia creates great opportunity for the Armenian people in many ways, and also spiritually. So when under the freedom of Armenia, Echmiadzin, in the center of the Armenian church, is becoming more active, that is also creating an opportunity, bringing Armenian people, closer to each other. Even though, when people, they are born and they are educated and they live in different parts of the world, they have different, mentalities, but there are also very important things which unite them, like faith, culture. Like in the United States, there are third, fourth generation Armenian Americans, and they feel, young generation of Armenian Americans, they feel part and partial of the American society. They feel very proud of their being Americans. And of course, strong Armenia also will help creating that stronger connection.
The Armenian Church is similar in its beliefs and rites to the Roman Catholic and the Greek Orthodox churches, but it has been separate since the 5th century division following the Ecumenical Council of Chalcedon. What are some of these outstanding differences that keep these divisions alive, these stumbling blocks in becoming closer with the Catholic Church?
I mean, as you stated, there are so many things where we are united. Actually, theologically, when we start, looking into it, we will see that in very important and major things, we are together. In fact, there is an international dialogue between Oriental Orthodox churches and the Catholic Church, and Armenian Church being part of the Oriental Orthodox family with the Coptic, Syrian Orthodox, Ethiopian and Indian church, and I am part of that international dialogue. So when we come together, when we study theological issues, ecclesiastical issues, there we see that actually there is not too much difference, and difference is rather very, very minus. And also in the past there was misunderstanding, like Armenian church was considered by some of the theologians as a monophysite church. Monophysite, theologically, it means that a church which believes only in one nature of Christ. But then when we study the writings of early Armenian church fathers from 4th century, 5th century, we study the hymns. We have very rich hymnology, the Armenian hymns. We will see that it's very clear that Armenian church believes in two natures of Christ, the divine and human. But then how this is interpreted is, secondary. And also liturgically, there are some liturgical scholars, Catholic, Father, for example, Robert Taft, who is a quite well-known Jesuit scholar of the Eastern Orthodox or Eastern liturgies. He has written and he has lectured saying that how important is the Armenian liturgy. It's a very, very rich liturgical tradition. So liturgically, theologically, there are many, many similarities. In fact, during Middle Ages, during the Cilician Kingdom of Armenia, 12th, 13th century, there was a very strong relationship between the Catholic Church and the Armenian Church, since Crusaders were going to free Jerusalem and Crusaders were helped by the Armenians. And a strong relationship was created. And during that period, we have taken some liturgical practices from the Catholic Church, like the bishop's mitre or bishop's ring and then the bishop's staff, for example. So I'm just telling all these things to say that there are many, many similarities. And when we come together, when we start dialogue or visit each other, we see that there are so many things where we are, together. The only major difference is the primacy of the Pope. That's the major issue, and I think it's a major issue in the relationship of the Orthodox, overall Orthodox family and the Catholic Church. Because, for example, for Oriental Orthodox churches, his family, there was no time when there was one head. Because for the Oriental Orthodox, you know, they all, for many centuries, they had their own patriarchs, different languages, different liturgical traditions, but then we have been always in communion. So this, you know, different liturgical traditions, different languages, different cultures did not separate us. You know, they had their, you know, Catholicoi or patriarchs as the heads of their churches, but then we have always been in communion. So that is the only major, I think, difference. But then we are discussing about these issues in our, you know, dialogues, and I'm sure with open heart, with open communication, all these issues will find their solutions for the benefit of the mission of Christ, because we all believe that we have the same mission, and also we all recognize that in the society there is need to hear the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially in a society where there is so much materialism, you know, secularism. So the challenges are for all of us, and we all recognize that it's important that in front of these challenges we work together, we cooperate with each other, and then we reach out as Christian churches.
And thanks there to Archbishop Kazhag Barsamian, primate of the Diocese of the Armenian Church of America on the East Coast.